during the time of those 7 days, there are a bunch of things that the mourner is not allowed to do. The mourner is not allowed to go outside, out in the real world. He's not allowed to work, you know, his normal everyday activity. When he comes to shul, he shouldn't sit in his normal seat. Now, on Shabbos, you're allowed to come to shul, but he shouldn't sit in his normal seat as an expression of his disorientation. As a matter of fact, for the whole year after somebody dies, let me rephrase that. As long as you are saying Kaddish, you should not sit in your normal seat. You should sit in a different seat. So that when, finally, that Kaddish experience is over, then you're restored to your original condition. You know, you go back to your original place.
Somebody
took your seat already, yes. Right, the traditional Shabbos greeting, you're in my seat. Right. Okay, so it is forbidden to wear new and laundered clothes. That feeling of personal freshness is very much a part of our lives. Again, clothes make the man. You get up, you know, you put on a fresh pair of clothes, really, you know, clean, perky feeling. You're not supposed to feel perky. This is not a good time to feel perky. You're not supposed to shave. You're not supposed to cut your hair. You're not supposed to use cosmetics. You are, of course, allowed to do, you know, necessary hygiene type of things, but, you know, you don't hop into the jacuzzi. Sexual relations are forbidden, and this may seem like an odd juxtaposition, but it's not. You're not allowed to study. The only thing you're allowed to study are texts about death and mourning. Because study in traditional Judaism is the greatest talmud, the greatest pleasure, besides sexuality. And you are supposed to stay away from all of that. Now, on the one hand, this is an alleviation of guilt. I am refraining from all of these things because how could I go and be enjoying these things? You know, how could I be enjoying that nice new tie that somebody gave me when I should be feeling miserable at the loss of my relative and nothing else but? Also, because there is a rule about it, then particularly about the area of sexuality, there's no pressure on the mourner. The husband or the wife cannot be disappointed or angry with the mourner because the mourner refuses to have sex with them. The mourner's not supposed to have sex with them. That's on the one side. On the other side, for the mourner himself, it's easy. One could imagine the mourner seeking the kind of intimacy and comfort. I mean, when does he need an embrace more than then? But that's the wrong route to go. And the guilt feelings that could be triggered afterwards could be just absolutely overwhelming. How could you do this most life-embracing thing when you've still been touched by death? The mourner sits on a low stool, on the floor, on a couch where they, you know, you pick up the cushions from the couch. They sit lower than people, quote, in normal society because they've been knocked down to the ground. They've been slapped down by this experience. That's why getting up from Shiva, they mean that quite literally. You have a chance to get up. You get to stand up when you couldn't before. By the way, I just want to mention in passing, the low boxes, the low silk, they are not meant to make you feel uncomfortable. It's perfectly okay for the mourner to feel physically comfortable. He doesn't have to contort himself to feel uncomfortable. But he needs to sit in the lower seat so that you know that he is a mourner. You know, people can walk into Shiva house and have no idea who the mourner is. Yes?
How does the Shiva feeling affect relatives, cousins, or as you get a little further away from the immediate family?
That's a great question. I'm very glad that you brought that up. The question was, how about Shiva for like cousins or other than immediate relatives? And the answer to that question is that Jewish law is very explicit about this, that Shiva is mandatory for a very small and select group of people. Parents, children, spouses, siblings, period. And one can have tremendous respect for a friend, a cousin, all kinds of relatives that matter tremendously. You do not sit Shiva for them.
What if there's no one else to sit Shiva?
All right. You don't sit Shiva. You can say Kaddish, but you don't sit Shiva. the experience of mourning that we have for that select group of relatives, as close as we might be to our grandparents, to a best friend, right, they do not have the psychological impact on us as people within that very, very tight circle. Right. And let me give you an example of that. Think about the fact that when you're saying Kaddish, if you're saying Kaddish for a parent, you do it for 11 months. Right? Whereas for a spouse or for even a child, you only say Kaddish for 30 days. And siblings too. Alright? So for a parent, you do it for 11 months. For all of the other people for whom you are an official mourner, for whom you sit Shiva, you only do it for 30 days. Now what's up with that? You know, I mean, the idea of me losing a child, you know, I expect, you know, I would die, that's number one. But number two, you know, I'd be mourning, you know, every day for the rest of my life. How could that be, you know, have only 30 days as opposed to, you know, something else? So the reason the rabbis mandated it that way is that the question is, how much of your psychological makeup has been shaped by that person that died? And if you just think about it for a second, obviously your parents were the first. You know, they've had more influence on your psychological makeup than anybody else by far. And if you compare the sibling, the wife, the child, these are long-term relationships that changed your life because of the association that you had with these people, where there was extraordinary contact constantly. With siblings, our relationship with our siblings is the longest relationship that we have with anybody. Obviously, the spouse, you become a different person. Obviously, the parent to a child sets its own psychological dynamic. There's nothing close to that. That cousin that you love, that grandparent that you respect, you know, they're wonderful people, but there's no way that they have the same psychological impact on you as those others.